I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom. Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom. Welcome to the place where we run it. Place really haunted by number 58 is DT the Great. And we flaunt it. Hey, and we shun it. No competition, the opposition fake. I don't think they really want it. Loud is the recipe. Loud sitting next to me, no doubt.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We are proud that we get to see KC Chiefs come and break these geeks, make them taste these cleats. Welcome to the
season touchdown pass, the most in NFL history, in a player's first four seasons, finding Kelce wide open, and it's human pyrotechnics dressed in red, white, and gold.
That is Mitch Holtis. If you missed him earlier, you can go check it out on the podcast page. It'll just literally say, Mitch Holtis joins the guys, Fesco and Dusty, on 96.5 The Fan.
Have you ever been to something called Wings for Water in Lee's Summit?
No.
Okay, our friend Jimmy Gaffney, local celebrity Bills fan as well, texting in. He goes, yeah, they have peanut butter and jelly wings at that thing, too. So you need to find your way to get to that. Wings for Water next year in Lee's Summit. Peanut butter and jelly wings. I told you, those things are pretty darn good, right? They're really, really good. But as a Bills fan, I said, how you feeling about the game, Jimmy? Not good. I think the Chiefs will win by double digits.
Wow.
That's diehard Buffalo Bills fan Jimmy Gaffney, ladies and gentlemen, coming with that heat.
Or he's using reverse psychology.
That is probably what he's doing, yes. He says, I don't feel like our offense is clicking. Josh seems to be rattled and leaves the pocket too soon.
Mm.
I don't know, Mac, what do you think about that? You study Josh Allen's footwork.
Leaving the pocket too soon seems kind of crazy. They've got one of the best offensive lines. I'd be surprised if he's doing that. If he's doing that, it's because no one's open. I don't know if it's because he's getting jumpy, but that's fair. I mean, the offense, you mentioned it last week, Bob. I mean, the offense, it's not just the defense that we've talked about that struggled. The Bills' offense the past few weeks, besides the Panthers last week,
right,
it's been a little eh.
And that's coming off a bye, and their money coming off a bye. So is that foreshadowing for what's coming this week, or was that just them coming off the bye? That's what I don't know the answer to. We'll know more about 5 o'clock on Sunday.
It is that time. It's 8 o'clock on a Friday. Chiefs play on Sunday. So let's get into the script brought to you by Foaling. Fool around and find out.
I always start. Someone else go first.
No, your name's on the list
okay,
first.
All right.
Youngest to oldest or something like
all
that.
All right, I'll start.
All right, Dusty.
Dusty, do it.
Getting out to an early lead is a must. It won't happen. Buffalo controlling the clock. It won't happen. Everything that you think will happen will not. So it's funny we do that script thing, especially this week. But if I could, I will do my best. I think this is a Xavier-worthy type of game. Why? Sometimes Andy Reid gets cheeky. Why do the Chiefs have Xavier Worthy? Well, look at the team that they play across from today, and that's who it is. That's right, the script will come out Monday, so you understand the presence and past tense. I do think this is a Xavier Worthy game. I think Rice will still get 7 to 8 receptions, but Worthy will do more damage. I'm looking at Xavier Worthy to have 100 yards receiving in this game. No receiver's done it. Why not have it be the first time against a team that let you draft him ahead of them? I also think Hollywood Brown will score. We saw his production dissipate fast in that game against Washington. I think we find number five somewhere out. I also think they will seal the deal with a deep pass to Tyquan Thornton, someone else who has been MIA. Why not beat Buffalo with the guys that they don't think that you can beat them with? Why try to predict a game that you have no idea how to predict it? So what am I going to do? Take guys that you're not thinking about and incorporate them into this offense. I think James Cook gets 70 yards rushing. I think Allen has a big pick late in the game, but I think his legs will have us all pissed off throughout the game. The legs will be ready for Josh Allen. The interception is waiting for Josh Allen, and it'll be annoying, but it will not be enough. I like the Chiefs in this matchup, 34-24.
The interesting thing you mentioned there was Hollywood Brown. He didn't practice on Wednesday because he was sick. I wonder if he was sick on Monday night as well, and that's why he didn't have an impact on that game. You know, so I saw that the other day. I'm like, huh, out with an illness. Okay, so the guy must have been sick. Obviously, usually it's not a one-day thing. Maybe it was something that he had on Monday, kind of slowed him down a little bit. So if he's healthy and ready to go, I'd like to see Hollywood Brown kind of pick back up where he was 2 weeks ago with this offense. I think that would be really good.
Mac? Yeah, I agree. I think the snaps went down a lot, too, so that would make sense. Maybe not playing him as much.
I mean, if he's throwing up on the sidelines and he's not well, you know, that's a good reason why. And then he sat out of practice for illness as well, so maybe, you know, last week was just, you know, he had the bubble guts.
Exactly. Hope he's back and ready to go. All right, let's start. This is the moment we've been waiting for, y'all. This team is not going to start slow. These Chiefs are going to come out hot, ready to go. The offense is going to get the ball. They're going to begin. They're going to drive down for a touchdown scored by aforementioned Hollywood Brown. Ray Davis is going to make a big play for the Buffalo Bills. We're so focused on James Cook. Sean McDermott knows that. Ray Davis is a good player. He'll make one good play out of the backfield at least in the first half. It'll feel like the Chiefs should be up more, but it'll be 17-10 at half. They'll be in control of the game. And then the Bills get the ball to start the second half. They're going to open up with a turnover. That's when the floodgates open. Rice will be the first 100-yard receiver of the season. Xavier Worthy will have a big rush this game on the ground. And Chris Jones will get a sack. Mahomes throws for 275. That's being modest. Four touchdown passes through the air for 15. Chiefs win this one handily, 31-17.
Ray Davis, the owner of the Texas Rangers, is going to have a big day running at 81 years old.
Is it Ty Davis? Ray Davis?
No,
Ray
you're right. It is Ray Davis, but you said Ray Davis. I'm like, there's another Ray Davis out there somewhere, I think. So a quick search on the interwebs has shown me Ray Davis. I'm like, oh, yeah, the owner of the Texas Rangers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's worth $3.1 billion.
Wow, the Bills got him on a steal.
Yeah, they really did. They absolutely, absolutely did. All right, for me this week, here we go. We ready? We're out. We're ready to go. We're ready to have this game. We're ready to look at this game. This is one where the Chiefs are going to send a message, ladies and gentlemen. They've heard all the noise. They've heard your talking. It is message time for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the game of the year. It's week 9. It's the Chiefs and Bills. And this time, it's going to be different. This has always been the Bills game, right? They always take care of business in the regular season. Sorry, those days are now officially over. The Chiefs will come out on fire. Buffalo will drive down the field, take a ton of time off the clock to start. Chiefs will hold them. They'll get the ball back. They'll go to work. It's deep ball after deep ball after deep ball. Rice, Worthy, Thornton all have at least a catch of one catch at least of 10 yards or more. Kelce continues to be Mr. Reliable. 5 catches, over 80 yards, and a touchdown. The running backs this week are used in an as-needed basis. Third and short, change of pace. Even that way, they still get close to 100 combined yards on the ground. Everyone eats, everyone's happy. Chiefs win 35-0.
Woo! Let's go!
This is it. This is the game.
I'm hard.
This is the game. You've talked all your smack. Mm-hmm. You've told us we're no good.
Yep.
You told us we beat Miami. You told us we beat Cincinnati, the Jets, whatever team. Now it's the Buffalo Bills. It is a moment for this team to go out there and send that final message. The double bird up yours. We're back. Because when they go smoke these guys, ain't nothing you can say anymore, Carton. Get bent.
I love all the teams he mentioned. They haven't been beat.
Yeah, I know.
You talk about Cincinnati, Miami, and the Jets. Doesn't matter. I'm like, well.
That's, hey, he's on a roll. Let him
you
go.
You get what he's saying.
Was it over the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Hell no. And it ain't over now.
Ain't over now.
You need
3-2-1 on the text line.
You need to talk to your boy Justin Reed.
Why?
YouTube TV having negotiations breakdown with Disney and losing access to ESPN ABC programs was not on my bingo card this morning. What streaming services are people using to watch these now?
I'll take care of Justin here in the break.
Oh, it's funny. That's good. Sal Capaccio will join us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. We dive into more depth of this Buffalo and Chiefs matchup at 3:25 on Sunday that you can hear here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Moving right along on a Red Friday here in Kansas City. Going to be a beautiful Halloween day. So happy Halloween to all of you that are out there trick-or-treating. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy it. If you're watching on the live stream, yes, Bob and I are in costume. I am a Surfside strawberry lemonade and vodka. And Bob is Chief Cheffers, who is the referee in this game. We're now joined by Sal Capaccio here on 96.5 The Fan. Sal, how are you doing on this Friday Halloween, my man?
I'm laughing. I mean, you guys lean into it, baby. I love it. Lean into it.
You got to, right?
I love that.
You got to lean into it. What's the mood, Sal? What's going on up there in Buffalo? It feels like fans are kind of like with this Buffalo team. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, despite all the success, and I'll call it that, of course, you know, it's a different kind of success when you're winning Super Bowls like in Kansas City. Despite all the success, you know, here there's a lot of angst and there's a lot of frustration right now because this team hasn't gotten to their ultimate goal. And really the Chiefs, Halloween appropriate, have been the boogeyman to kind of keep them away and hold them back from what they want to get to. And now that they're in this position this year where they've lost a couple of games that people feel they shouldn't have lost to, despite being 5-2, the offense kind of doesn't look right. And there's a lot of angst, like I said, and now you have the Chiefs, the ultimate boogeyman, coming up to Buffalo, chance to get them to 5-3. And, you know, here we go again. So yeah, I think there's excitement that, you know, this team is still good from a lot of people, but it's all about the playoffs now. It's not about the regular season. You guys know this drill, right? And and for the differences where you are, you've gone through this and won it at the end. The difference here is we've gone through this and haven't won it, so who cares? Get me through the regular season, because whatever you do in the playoffs is what matters, and that nothing else does.
Yeah, exactly right. Years ago, I started saying the regular season was irrelevant here in Kansas City, and people would get mad. I'm like, no, it only matters what you know the team's going to the playoffs. It matters how they do when they get there. Now, if there is another short failure in the playoffs this year, are we starting to talk about the Sean McDermott job situation?
Yeah, listen, there's a couple different conversations about this. Fans are like, the frustration level is at a very high level with fans. Like we take calls from fans every day. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, as a guy calls or this week says, well, you know, what is the scenario that they can get rid of McDermott at the end of the year? Like, that's how people are talking, right? It's like, you're 5-2. You have the league MVP last year. You've won 5 straight division titles. And yet people are like, what's the scenario to get rid of the head coach? It's wild, right? But because of him being a defensive coordinator and the defense have failing them in the playoffs, I mean, the Bills have scored against the Chiefs in the playoffs. They haven't stopped them, and that's been the big ire from fans. Now, I think from objectively, of a media standpoint, looking outside in, Sean McDermott's an amazing coach. He's won 5 straight division titles. This team had a 17-straight-year playoff drought before he got here. So there's just a lot of different kind of nuances on how you talk about it around, right? But I will tell you, like, the fan and even, you know, Brandon Bean, well, he hasn't built the right roster and, you know, the roster construction. And look, no offense to Brent Veach in Kansas City. I always say, I did this on my podcast. I said, compare Brandon Bean's draft to Brent Veach's. Like, Veach has definitely hit on more like higher end, but he has a lot of guys that haven't worked out, including in second and third rounders. Every team does.
Right. Talking to Sal Capaccio here. You're down there. You're checking things out on the field throughout the games. And I want to ask you this, and not to throw it back or throw any sort of names into it, but is that Buffalo Stampede still feared, or is it kind of taken down a notch and it's kind of like you guys are the Chiefs from last year where it doesn't matter how you win, just win?
It's funny you say. I literally thought you were talking about the drum line. It's called the Buffalo Stampede.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, do people fear the drum line in Buffalo, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, they used to have the Jills years ago. People, they used to have the Jills years ago, no more cheerleaders, and now they have the Buffalo Stampede. No, I mean, like, when teams come to town, if that's what you're talking about, I think that, you know, the Chiefs have been in every scenario, every situation. They've beaten the Bills here in Buffalo. But there is something mental about teams coming to Buffalo and, you know, what it's like playing here. And, you know, guys, this year, this game, but every game this year, the added element is this is the last year ever at this stadium.
Yeah.
And we're opening a new stadium next year right across the street. And, you know, there's been such a history. I go back to the 90s and Steve DeBerg and Joe Montana coming to Buffalo in the playoffs, right? I mean, I remember going to those games, and it was the reverse where the Chiefs would beat the Bills in the regular season. The Bills would beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in those years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the other way around. But every game that we have here, there's something different and something unique about this is the last time this team is ever coming. And that could be the case, or maybe the Chiefs come in the playoffs. But there's a lot of that. There's a lot of sentimental and emotional attachment that's going along with this season, and I think that that's added to the kind of I used to say fear, I guess, of coming to Buffalo. It's not the players or coaches in Kansas City, but I do think, you know, no team, no fan base likes the fact of coming to Buffalo in November.
No, nobody likes to go to Buffalo after the month of September, I would imagine, you know, with the weather the way that it is up there. Offensively speaking, though, it seems different. Obviously, it's James Cook, man. Like, this has been the guy. Why has he been so successful this year?
He really is amazing. He really is. I mean, I get a first row seat to him down on the sidelines. And, you know, I've been through a lot of these running backs and players, and some have been really special. LeSean McCoy is, you know, one of the best I've ever seen. But this guy, I would say his vision is like LeSean's, and his contact balance is as good as anybody I've seen. That's what it is. He's only 200 pounds, right? Maybe a tick over that. But, man, he takes shots. His contact balance is great. And really, I mean, his vision allows him to not take big shots and to move through the hole. And it's pretty incredible. But the other part is, guys, that those have a really good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the best offensive lines in the league. They've really concentrated on building it, and that's why they've been able to keep Josh upright. Knock on wood here, Josh Allen has the longest active streak of any starting quarterback in the NFL. He takes pride in being available. He starts every game. He plays every game. He takes bumps and bruises. He's a big guy. But that's part of the offensive line, and that's why James Cook's been special. If they had kept him in last week, he played three quarters. And he had 214 yards rushing, 216, I think. If they'd kept him in, there are people thinking he could have gone for close to 300 and broken O.J. Simpson's all-time single-game rushing record here. As it was the best rushing performance in 50 years for the Buffalo Bills. So he's pretty special. But here's the deal. They have to lean into that running game, and it has to be special because the passing offense has been what people have been frustrated about.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Josh Allen, league MVP, but people just, you know, the passing offense has struggled, and there's been several reasons for that, I think, and is it Joe Brady? Is it Josh Allen? Is it protection? Is it the wide receivers? I think that's where people are mostly concerned, which is they don't have the wide receivers to really get separation, get open, and that's why there's a lot of talk of adding someone before the deadline.
Sal, I want to bring this up because I think you guys are going to massively miss Ed Oliver at the center of the defensive line. And we've always asked people, like, what do you do when you go into this game and see the Chiefs offense? And the same response we get is pray because of what they have as weapons. Without Ed Oliver, what does that mean for this defense against this offense for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I want to preface this by saying I would never say losing Ed Oliver is a good thing. Of course it's not. He's a massive player and you want him on the field. But I will say that the Bills last week got back Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and they were on 6-game suspensions. And those names might not be household names, but, man, they can really kind of do the things 2-for-1 that Ed Oliver gives you, and especially against this matchup. Look, the Bills, the worst matchup for the Bills, we always say here in Buffalo, believe it or not, the Chiefs are a better matchup for the Bills than the Ravens. The Bills aren't built to stop a power run team. They're built to stop a team that can spread you out a little bit and try to, you know, and not lean on their run game and throw the ball. It doesn't mean that they're going to stop the Chiefs. I'm not saying that. But if this is a game against the Ravens and, you know, power run team, you'd feel a little bit different. Ed Oliver is a chaos penetrator in the middle of the defense. He gets through. He's a big guy, a big piece of what they do on third and long. But, man, Michael Hoyt is a really big chess piece, guys. And I think people are going to start to learn. He had a sack and a half in his first game off suspension. He's a free agent's pickup from the Rams. They move him around. He plays up front. He plays off the ball. He goes inside. And I think on those passing downs, that's a guy that they're going to use a lot and then keep Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau on the edge. Larry Ogunjobi's a better run defender than Ed Oliver. So in those situations, I don't think the Bills are too worried, but certainly Ed Oliver can create a play at any time. You've seen it in Kansas City happen. So that's a tough one. Now, the speed for Kansas City, that's going to be tough to deal with, no doubt. The Bills made some tweaks, though, last week. Max Harrison, the first-round corner, he was back on the field after being on injured reserve all season. And, boy, he looked pretty good. He's the fastest player at the combine. And I wonder Do they have him just follow Worthy around? Do they even follow Rice? What do they do with him? Because I think that's a really kind of interesting nuance to this game.
You know, you mentioned kind of the speed that the Chiefs have all over the place, right? I mean, they just come after you in waves and waves and waves and waves. Is this, in your opinion, because it is for me, the best offense that Buffalo's had to go up against this Chiefs team?
Yeah, I think so. Outside of, like I said, not having a great run game and without Pacheco, and I know that Kareem Hunt's had a bit of a rejuvenation here, and he's more of the power runner, and that might actually help the Chiefs in this game because of what I just said a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashard Smith's done a nice job, but overall, like the speed, the way they can spread you out, you have to defend everything from sideline to sideline, and you have to defend everything on 100 yards long. I think so. It's the most dynamic, you know, Chiefs offense and the way that they can come at you. You know, and obviously Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce still sometimes. You know, he's maybe not consistently for 17 games. The Bills have actually very, very good against defending tight ends this year, one of the best teams in the league. Tight ends traditionally a lot of times hurt them early on in this era of Sean McDermott and, you know, what they've been building, but they've been good about that lately. So I wonder how that comes into play. But outside receivers, speed, what the Bills pride themselves on is not getting beat on explosives, and they do not allow explosives. And the Chiefs are going to try those, there's no doubt. But where they've failed is because they don't allow explosives, they actually allow a little too much underneath, right? Like that intermediate route area. And if the Chiefs can exploit that, which I'm sure they'll try to, that's where that speed will come into play. You get the ball into those guys' hands 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, and that's when, and we all remember the 13-second game mm-hmm. in the playoffs. That was Tyreek Hill's touchdown before everything happened, before Gabe Davis scored. Tyreek Hill catches it, and he races because that's the Bills don't want to give up the big play, but sometimes that is what winds up hurting them.
Yeah, exactly. It is reminiscent of that 13-second game. Will Keon Coleman use the comments by Steve Smith as fodder, or will he just not use them for anything?
He had no comment to us yesterday about it when asked. I think that he obviously is aware of them. And I'll say this, guys, I know the way the Bills operate. I'm quite sure people are making him aware of them and say, this is what people are saying about you. What are you going to do about it?
Wow.
No doubt about it. I think that I think they try to use anything they can for internal motivation. And, you know, Keon has been, I'd say, a disappointment so far through 2 years, but he's come up with some big games. He was very big in the week one win against the Ravens, especially in the fourth quarter. He was the best receiver on the field in that game. So I think so. But look, he can want to do that all he wants. He still has to win. He still has to win one-on-one. Josh still has to find him, trust him. You know, they have to still make that connection work. So I do think Keon will try to use that a bit as motivation, but you can want that motivation all you want. You still have to go out there and perform.
Last one for you, Sal. If Josh Allen wins, he's the MVP. If Patrick Mahomes wins, he's the MVP. Yes or no?
No, I don't think that that's as cut and dry as that. I mean, you got some other guys here. Drake May's having a really good season right now, and what he's doing for a team that wasn't expected. I mean, I don't know. I think he'll come back down a little bit, but man, he looks good. I watching this guy play, he's right there in the mix. I don't think it's as clear as cut as that, but I do think they're the two leading guys. And look, at the end of this game, the winner of the game will be the odds-on guy to win the MVP. I don't think we can make it as simple as that's going to happen at the end of the year. But yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think you still have to get to the end of the year and be the one seed. You know, going back to our conversation earlier, guys, that's the one thing the Bills haven't done in this era. They haven't gotten the one seed. Like, that's the goal this year. They want the one seed so bad because it's not about playing at home. The Chiefs beat the Bills at home, and the Bengals have. Getting that week off has been so massive to them because they haven't had it, and they've had injuries, and, you know, the Chiefs come to Buffalo for years ago, and you got Travis Kelce running routes against A.J. Klein, right? I mean, like, because the Bills were so depleted at linebacker because of the injuries. They want that, and I could make the argument that this game is bigger for Kansas City than it is for Buffalo, considering where each team is in the standings.
No doubt. Sal, keep doing the Lord's work on the sideline down there. Look out for those Zins, Velos, and, you know, the smelling salts as you continue to do your thing. We appreciate the time and, you know, enjoy this banger of a game that is every single year for the last decade.
I'll look out for the Buffalo Stampede, too,
yes,
guys.
Sir.
You never know what it's going to be.
Yeah, you watch out.
Hey,
I'm trying to help you out, Sal. You bet.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Sal Capaccio, sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills, also at 5:50 a.m. in Buffalo as well. Interesting. bigger game for the Chiefs than the Buffalo Bills. Well, I disagree.
I disagree as well. I mean,
I think it's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I'm sure you could make the case for either one. I could sit here today and you say, hey, Bob, make the case for this is a bigger game for the Chiefs than it is for Buffalo. Whatever the case may be, like they do at ESPN where they fake conversation, right? Mm. We could have done that, but we're going to be very kind of emotional and you know who we are about this one. I think it's a big game for both of these teams. But the way that these teams are playing right now, the eye test of these teams right now, it just feels like Buffalo needs this game a lot more than Kansas City. And that's not saying it's not a big game for the Chiefs, because it's a huge game. It's a massive game. It means 6-3. That's what you want to do. You want to keep separating yourself in the win and loss column and continue to stack those wins. So it's a major game for the Chiefs. But I feel like if Buffalo loses this game, Dusty, and again, I could be completely wrong about this, I feel like the shovels are out and they're starting to put the dirt on the grave of the Buffalo Bills. And we'll start to hear on Monday that the run of the Bills is over. The Patriots are going to win this division. So I think from that standpoint, with as good as the Patriots are playing right now, because I buy into the Patriots more than I buy into the Broncos or the Chargers at this point. But I think the way that they're playing right now with the coach that they have in New England, if Buffalo does lose this game, it's a major separator between them and New England. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I could play devil's advocate because sure, if the Chiefs do lose this game, and we talk about what the schedule is moving forward, they then have to dwell on this during the bye week, which we understand that Andy Reid does well after the bye. But then you get Denver, Indianapolis, at Dallas on Thanksgiving. Dusty, Dallas, really? It's different on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but it is.
Well, they also score points.
Exactly.
Like they score a Dallas lot of points. Does, yeah. Now, and they also haven't played the Chiefs defense yet this year, too. Fair. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you look at the Bills and you look at their remaining schedule, if they lose, they're probably okay. I mean, they get the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals, and then they have that big December 14th game against the Patriots. So you look at the difference in schedules, I would see why you would say, well, if the Chiefs win this game and they go to, 6-3, okay, now maybe if you want to have that sort of loser mentality, you can afford to have a hiccup. Maybe it's on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it's against Denver and Denver because you'd still have another matchup against them in Kansas City where you could even that out and then go to common opponents, where they would still have a tiebreaker because of Philadelphia, and I think that's the only one right now on the schedule. But, I mean, I think this game is big for both teams, but I do shift more so in the Buffalo side because I think the way the Chiefs are held together from the top to the bottom and the way they are so glued as a franchise that this loss, like we've seen in the past, doesn't really affect them where they go, whereas I think this loss to Buffalo would then be three losses in their last four games, and the games that they have won, Mitch told us the combined record's like 10-29 or something like that, you would start to have, like he had mentioned, Sal Capaccio, that is the doubt and the disbelief in the Sean McDermott era. Okay, it's been great. Yeah, we haven't been there, but we've flattened. We've gone to our point, and we can't seem to get past it. We need somebody else. We need to change things up. So I think that it is bigger for Buffalo, but if I were to do like a graph chart, I would say it's about 59-41 importance for Buffalo to win over Kansas. I still think this is a massive game for the Chiefs. I still think they got to go out there, obviously, and take care of business because of what the schedule is for the Chiefs, whereas it's not necessarily the schedule for Buffalo. It's the future.
Right, exactly. And I think you got to try to stack wins as much as you can. You put yourself at that disadvantage losing those first two games of the year and really losing that Jacksonville game, right? So now you're behind the eight ball, and so you can't afford any more mess-ups, if you will. You've got to continue to press forward and continue to win these games. And this is a beatable opponent this year, right? Buffalo's beatable every year. Chiefs are everybody's beatable, right? It's the NFL. But this is a beatable opponent right now, and one that if you do beat, you will get all that street cred. Not that that matters, but it does to these guys, right? They want to hear good things about themselves. They want people to respect them. And I think for a lot of those fence sitters right now that are kind of wondering about this defense, is this defense that good, or has it been the opponents? Going out there and playing a stout game against Buffalo and holding them under, I would say, 25 points, if you will, that will show you how good this defense truly is. And so they've got a lot to play for, the Chiefs do. Obviously, the Bills have a ton to play for, and that's why this game is great. That's why I said earlier, this is really the first time that they've played this game in the Mahomes-Allen era where the game actually has a lot more meaning than it has ever had before. Because, yeah, the one spot's nice, but both teams you knew were going to the playoffs are going to be fine. See you later. This is now midseason. Buffalo's kind of going like this. Some people don't think the Chiefs are where they need to be. This is as big a Buffalo Chiefs game and what's on the line, maybe more so than we've ever seen before outside of the postseason, obviously.
Yeah, there's more question marks with both teams than we've probably ever had in the past regular season matchups, and that's why there's more pressure for the Buffalo Bills, because the Chiefs have more answers. They have Patrick Mahomes, they have Andy Reid, and they have past precedents. They've proved this time and time again. They're the New England Patriots. People, the sky's falling, it's the regular season. We know what's going to happen in December and January. If they get in, man, they win.
Right, exactly. And that's what the New England Patriots did every year. And quite honestly, that's kind of what Buffalo does. They get in and they're there in the AFC Championship game. They don't win at the end, obviously, and get the job done. But like when you're a team like, you know, Buffalo or Kansas City or New England back in the day, you're using the regular season to figure yourself out for when the playoffs do start. Now you know what works, what doesn't work, and you put your best foot forward.
Is this a game where Andy Reid can, because of the pressure, because of the magnitude of the matchup, can maybe unleash a little bit of the playbook, get a little fancy, get a little spicy?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of time we talk about him holding, reserving tight to the vest for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. But I think this is one of those games that they're kind of looking at like it's message time, too. You know, like go out there and have this high-flying aerial attack that we've been wanting to see since July of 2024 unleashed over the last couple of weeks. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing these guys attack, attack, attack. And if you don't think they're having fun on offense right now, you're sorely mistaken. And you know what fun brings? More fun. Let's continue to have more fun. Let's continue to do this. Let's go.
Yeah, I do think that the significant advantage in this game is Andy Reid and Sean McDermott. Now, I do think that Sean McDermott kind of has a little bit of a few codes that he can throw into the game because of what he has at quarterback against Andy Reid. But I do think that Andy Reid, I think that's why that Washington game was kind of slow. I don't think that they wanted to show a whole lot in that Washington game. I thought they figured Mariota, Washington, Debo, McLaurin are coming back. Like, I think we can handle this with our C sort of game. Then they went in the locker room and said, okay, they're better than we give them credit for, maybe. I'm not saying this is what they did, but I'm just hypothetically speaking that then they went out there like, all right, let's unleash a few things. Because there's so many options that you could have, like a different combination, how you can build a hamburger, no pun intended, is kind of what they can do with this offense. And where we see all these guys motion in the backfield, and we see this guy come out as a quarterback and Mahomes line up to the right, that was just like a small fragment of what I think Andy Reid will open up in this game, where it's like, oh, we haven't seen Xavier Worthy in this role yet this year. We haven't seen Rashee Rice come into the slot and then move out to the outside and do these sort of things. And we haven't seen Travis Kelce only be available for 3 catches in a game for 35 yards because you didn't need him because you had more explosive firepower elsewhere that you've yet to release. And eventually the season is going to go on and more is going to be shown. Why not now in week 9 when you're going into a bye where you can readjust things? And then when Denver thinks they have it figured out, boom, here's a whole other scheme.
Oh, we're going to see stuff in this game that we haven't seen before, and we're going to see stuff in this game that we'll never see again, too. I mean, that's the beauty, as you mentioned there, of Andy Reid and the mastermind behind all of this. There will be plays, I guarantee you, we'll be going, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. And then we'll go, can we see it again? And they'll say, no, we've already used that play. And then they'll have something different and something better, you know, for when these two teams meet up in the postseason. But, no, I think this could be a fun game for Andy Reid because they're on that cusp of being able to just kind of unleash everything. Now this is, what, Rice's third game back, right? Yep. Right? It could be his third game back. He's kind of more into the system now, more used to getting hit, more used to the rigors of playing football, can open some things up a little bit. Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see some stuff in this game that's going to wow the hell out of us from an offensive standpoint.
816 said, no bun intended.
that's well done.
I love that.
Well done. Hey, you know what we did last week, guys?
We won money.
We made people some money.
Woo!
So why don't we continue to do it again? We'll get to our Friday Chiefs parlay on the other side. Plus, another Cincinnati Bengal once out. Hate to see it. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Jackson Dart, future MVP of the league. Good Lord, he has got himself a lady.
She's hot.
That's the voice of Sean Smith. He'll join us in about 13 minutes.
I can't wait.
I hope we get to hear what his Halloween costume is. Naked with a robe.
Hey, he's horrible.
No doubt. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Last week, we made y'all some money because y'all listen, and we love that. We appreciate you all more than you could absolutely ever know. We appreciate everyone that listens to this show, and we found that out very evidently obvious Monday night. As soon as Travis Kelce scored that touchdown, my Twitter, I think your guys' Twitter, we were all tagged in it. I had some people in the press box be like, there it is. And it was a three-leg parlay that we had last week.
Yeah.
And, of course, we will do it again this – actually, we've done – this week. We did it Monday.
Yeah.
The Chiefs win on Monday. Football.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how about that? Two must-win games for the Ravens in a week. They won both of them. Two parlays in a week. We're going to win both of these today, right?
I would hope so. It is a Friday, so it is our Chiefs parlay, and it is brought to you by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be is coming soon to Missouri with Circa Sports. Bob, 35-0 to score.
That's right.
And what's your leg of the parlay?
Travis Kelce anytime touchdown.
There it is. It's paying off. What's it's he got, three this year?
Yeah, yeah. Should have had four at least.
At least.
At least, yeah.
He anytime is plus 110.
It's good money.
Still getting some plus money there.
Still, yeah. They're on the move, though, yeah.
Last week it was minus.
It was
number.
Minus money last week,
but
yeah.
It was because it was tight end day.
Right.
So Bob's got Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. I'm gonna steal Bob's mojo here.
Okay, you're going with Travis Kelce anytime touchdown too. Double it up.
No, I'm going Travis Kelce first touchdown. No, I'm kidding. That'd be a baller move. I'm gonna go with Juju Smith-Schuster yet again.
Okay.
Because here's my tip in gambling, and if you are a degenerate like myself and do this, once you see the numbers start to go up, 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 you go away, away, away. Juju Smith-Schuster, my number this week, it is over 11.5 receiving yards. That's it. Last week it was 14.5. Now it's 11.5. I'll take it. So I'm going to take Juju Smith-Schuster once again over 11.5 yards parlayed with Bob's Travis Kelce anytime touchdown, because over here, us two guys are riding the hot guy.
Mm-hmm. You got to. You have to. Yeah, absolutely.
Mac, you got a Hollywood bet here?
Yeah, I was going to go Hollywood for 25 yards.
Oh, you said 215 in the dock, and I'm like, 215 receiving yards at minus 128 for Hollywood Brown?
What the hell? They got JSN and Jamar Chase in the same body?
Yeah, they infused their talents into him for this week. It's going to be pretty cool. But they didn't have 20 yards. 25 plus 169, 15 yards minus 128. Seems like not that big of a gap for what is 10 yards. We're talking about 15 and 25. 10 yards is a massive difference.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the safer route there, minus 128, 15 or more yards for Marquise Brown. Listen, he's had two catches over the last 2 weeks. I feel like we mentioned last week could have been maybe sick under the weather,
right.
Didn't play as much. I think he's going to be on the field, and I think he's going to become important in this game. Two or three catches, that should get 15 yards.
You know, with these NFL players, and he played on Monday night. Let's just say he was sick because he was out Wednesday's practice with an illness. How do these guys play in an NFL game? I know when I don't feel good, and I'm sure you guys, you don't even want to get out of bed. I mean, these guys are getting out of bed and going out there and playing a game in the NFL. Not high school, not college, just the NFL. These guys are getting up and they're going. I don't think we appreciate how tough these NFL players truly are. I'm talking about from being sick to being injured to all of this stuff. I think we take it for granted, man.
Mm-hmm,
So I think Hollywood Brown has a bounce back week. I think that flu bug or whatever it was, you know, that's kind of going through everybody, the sinuses, whatever you got, probably had him down a little bit last week. I think Hollywood Brown can be sneaky good this week.
Sorry if I didn't listen. Did you mention what all three leagues together are?
Plus 525 together,
ooh,
I believe.
Okay.
5-1, basically.
That's not bad.
No.
I mean, 10 bucks wins you 52.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
Yeah. And then you have that for next week's three, or I guess in 2 weeks. We won't have a parlay next week.
No.
We could do like our parlay. Like Mac is going to do this weekend. Yeah, Bob is going to do this. And I am going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, the numbers are Hollywood Brown for Mac. He likes him this week with the yardage. It is over 15 receiving yards, 15 or more receiving yards. Travis Kelce anytime touchdown from Bobby Betts. And then myself, Juju Smith-Schuster over 11.5 yards. That equals out to be a plus 525. So 10 to win 52. I like that.
Yeah, I love that bet. Let me give you a little other bet, too, as
ooh,
well.
Okay. More Bengals are leaving?
We'll get to that in just 1 second. Houston's going to win this weekend. Take them outright.
Ooh,
all right. Okay.
Is this Bobby Betts?
Yeah, I'm going to go with this one this week. I've been pretty hot lately.
You have?
Houston wins outright this week.
Outright.
It's Denver.
That's right.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
They're playing better football right now.
They are. Their offense is starting to find a little bit of a pulse. Stroud's
defense
still seems
is
weird.
Really I mean, good, dude.
It's amazing.
Would you be as confident to say they cover the spread?
What's the spread?
Just minus 1.5.
Houston's the favorite in this game? Yeah, I think 1.5, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denver is plus 110 on the money line. Houston minus 1.5 is minus 112.
See, Houston is the favorite in this one. And people will say, why is Houston the favorite in this one, right? Because there's something about that Denver offense that just doesn't smell right. Yep. And Houston has got a really good defense.
Like top five.
Yeah, like really good defense. And Denver has come back and they beat Dallas, who sucks on defense. And then whatever that Giants thing was where they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. So I think if you look at that and you're saying, all right, Houston's like one game back of being in the playoffs too. So there's a lot for them to play for this weekend. And I think they are starting to figure it out. D'Amico's under a little bit of pressure down there from the fans, and people are kind of, you know, getting off that C.J. Stroud bandwagon a little bit. But then you mentioned the top five defense, and that's what I keep going back to. I just don't think Denver's offense is good enough to go out there against the top five defense and put up a lot of points this week. So I think Houston wins this game outright.
Over under 39.5.
See, I'm going to take the under on that. Yeah, that is a very small number.
39.5, this game could be what? 20-17.
Yes.
Totally.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep. Yeah. You take the under in that one because Houston's not going to put up a lot of points, and the Houston defense just doesn't give up a lot of points. And so that's why I feel like people are going, I can't believe Houston. Like every time we have that, I can't believe so-and-so's favored, you wonder why. And then you talk through it and you're like, oh, okay. I see.
Cincinnati is 2.5-point underdogs at home against Caleb Williams and the Bears.
If not this weekend, win for Caleb, right? Like you got to go out there and ball this
Should
weekend.
Should have been last weekend.
Yeah, he needs to look good this week. He needs to look good.
Right?
Yes. No, it's a big week for him. Not going
to
lie.
Is Cincinnati going to be able to roster a team? Because everybody wants out.
I don't know. Mike Pinnell wanted out. They got rid of him this week. And now for the third time this season, for third time in recent weeks, some guy by the name of McKinley Jackson has requested a trade.
Never heard of him.
He's a defensive tackle. I'll take McKinley Jackson here. I don't know who he is, but the position I like. Third round pick in 24. So this guy was literally drafted last year. Is already seeing what is going on in Cincinnati and says, I don't want any part of this crap. I want to go. And so a second-year player is asking to be traded. Now, he's been a healthy scratch for six of the team's first eight games this season.
Wow.
And his only in-game action came on six snaps in week five when they lost to the Lions. Started last year on injury reserve, been kind of banged up a little bit. Not sure he has a lot of room to be requesting a trade, but nonetheless, it's the third player in recent weeks in Cincinnati to request a trade. There may have to be a whole house cleaning there in Cincinnati.
He's washed.
Logan Wilson has requested a trade. Oof. Mike Pinnell and basically said he reached a non-injury settlement that led to his release. So these guys want out of Cincinnati, man. It's a bad deal. And so you got a second or a third round pick from a year ago. That's a Kadarius Toney type of move, right? Where you just went out and got somebody's 100%. Player that wasn't doing anything, come in here and maybe plays well for you. That's kind of one to keep an eye on, maybe.
First, don't get spit on.
That's the voice of Sean Smith. I am absolutely excited to play the Steven Spector audio.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hear what Sean Smith's reaction is to that. Plus, I want to know what his Halloween costume is because he's got a little one. He might have to go trick-or-treat tonight unless there's high school football, which I don't know if there is or not. But we'll get to Sean Smith on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.